Two goals was all it took, and Orange County is back to winning ways. It feels good after a rough couple weeks, and we're here to talk all about it. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. I finally got to watch a game, and so now I'm here, and apparently I've been thrust right into hosting once again. So without further ado, let's get to my number two tonight, Brad Polonsky.
Wow, that was the quickest, shortest, and most succinct introduction ever. May I say, an upgrade over our normal.
You know, sometimes being on the Dylan and Brad show, you know, if I had a little more time, I would have prepared a little graphic for that. Sometimes it goes well. Before we get too far into things, I just want to say a very happy anniversary to our favorite Scott and perhaps my favorite lawyer in the entire world, Taylor, who was supposed to be on tonight and then realized she had more important things to be doing, i.e. celebrating her wedding anniversary. So congrats to her. Brad, I think we both just had to watch this one and we both just had to deal with the technical difficulties, but let's jump right into this match. A goal either side of the half, some chaos. Where do you stand on this full 90 performance?
Yeah, I mean, compared to the last 2 weeks where I've been complaining about, you know, we're not creating opportunities on the offense, now we're just not finishing them. Among Skied One, I believe our future guest tonight, Mr. Zubac, Skied One, both should have been just easily slotted in. And then both Among and Zubac still get on the score sheet. Yeah, it was against Monterey Bay, who I think has been floundering down in 9th, 10th place in the West. They do not look good so far this year, minus one or two games. However, you know, you take your confidence where you can get it. Orange County looked good. They were creating. Shout out again to Kyle Scott, who just continues to really work the midfield, really put in good shifts day in and day out. Oh, and Shuttler, as Chuck points out in the comments, Shuttler makes some big saves to keep us in the game and really deny Monterey Bay any opportunity into the game.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck, for that segue. I was very excited to kind of segue into this one because he was back. I think rightfully so, Duran Ferry was kind of rewarded for that 0-0 in San Antonio with the match last week. And obviously it didn't go super well, and I don't know how much he was really at fault for that. But Shuttler definitely showed why he is the number one. And I think some of that shakiness of years past, I think a couple years ago, maybe even last year, we would have seen one of these go in. This year, I think he's that much better than he's been, and he's that much better than he was at the start of the season. I think that one-on-one save in particular for me, I don't think that gets saved last year. I don't think that gets saved a month ago. Brad, what was your kind of standout moment for him as we watch probably the second best, if not the most crazy thing I've seen him do this year?
Yeah. First, before I do go any further, I do want to point out I was correct. I incorrect. I mistook the blue weird looking symbols for each other and Monterey Bay and Colorado Springs. I flipped them. Colorado Springs is the team not doing well. However, I have to think that save at the 23rd minute for Shuttler, call it a save, call it whatever you will, a little unlucky. It's kind of that momentum there that you can see, oh, today's different, you know, we're getting those lucky bounces.
I've talked about it a few times this year, but I think ultimately if you are good enough, you can create your own luck. And I think we were good enough. Obviously, could have been 2-0 15 minutes into this one. Oh, well, we make do. I did want to talk a little bit about the chaos of the first half, because I think years prior, months prior, this goes a different direction. Orange County, maybe this is unfair of me, but I think midfield lost their heads a little bit. still managed to shut things down. Where do you stand with this one?
Yeah, I mean, again, I have to give Kyle Scott. I have to give Ashish Chadha, who's still playing out of position, really all the kudos I can here. They played quite a good game, really limiting Monterey Bay, really, you know, keeping a 50-50 possession game really to Orange County's favor there. You know, 15 shots to 11 shots, sure, 6-6 on target. Shuttler makes a lot of big saves, a lot of good opportunities. But Monterey Bay is a crafty, really, you know, got to give them credit where credit's deserved. They're a good team. And Orange County just was the better team on the evening, got lucky on the evening.
It's fair enough. If we take a look at stats, because that's everyone's favorite thing, 15 shots from Orange County this year. That is, I think, pretty close to a season high for us, and 6 on target. Monterey had 11 shots and 6 on target. So again, I think this is a day where, you know, Orange County makes their own luck by just being a good team. And as we look at it here, as we head into Ethan Zubak's first goal, I'm sure we'll speak more on this as he joins us later on, but Kyle Scott finds himself in acres of space and no one steps to him. Brad, I know you've been banging this drum all season long. Do you want to say, why would anybody do that? He is maybe an underrated central midfielder here. Where do we stand on what is going on?
I don't even know where I stand. What's going on? How Kyle Scott gets so much freedom in that midfield there to just run and create an opportunity that ends up in the back of the net, just off a simple cross. Got to go back to week 2 in Pittsburgh where Dogman gets a similar opportunity. Well, Dogman takes a little bit more space, but I have to say for Monterey Bay, it's probably just a miscommunication and Kyle Scott just is told, hey, just carry the ball up as far as you can, and it's pretty free from him there. You know, Kyle Scott, I think a lot of teams see him as that scrappy defensive mid, especially this game with, you know, Monterey Bay's attack style and, you know, Kevin Partida. Was Kevin Partida in this game? I don't believe he was in this game. I think it was Jafal. I think Partida was out on this game. And so Kyle Scott was really asked to step up a little bit more. And how he gets that much space, how he's able to convert on it.
I do want to give some credit to Cameron Dunbar, who we see looks to Kyle Scott, starts his run, sees half the field open in front of him and picks up a gear. And I did not realize he was that fast. Again, Cameron Dunbar, Ethan Zubak, these are people that we've watched play Orange County in years past. These are players that I didn't particularly like in years past because they were great and they were dangerous and had a tendency to kind of haunt us. It's nice to see him wearing orange and black. He did super well, I think, to kind of stretch the defense. He did well to bend his run and stay onside. This felt like a situation where Orange County maybe would have fallen apart, and I think I've already said that tonight, but would have fallen apart years prior and instead managed to pull it through. And I will start saying this now that it's just about May. That's what champions do. You know, I think a week or two ago some people were saying let's bin the whole team, fire the manager because we didn't have a couple good results, and this maybe shows that those were unfounded claims or unfounded desires, because this team, again, is stepping up where it's needed. You have an 18-year-old playing center back, and he's been pretty lights out all year long. We have a midfielder playing left back. He's been doing super well. Everyone's just stepping up where they need to be, and that's all that, all that it is. Brad, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, with this game, obviously, both of us had to deal with some technical difficulties from afar. Sometimes, you know, champions get a little lucky. Sometimes champions can can make things work. And I think that's what we saw tonight with Orange County, or tonight on Saturday with Orange County. They made the ball go to the back of the net where they needed it to. And they got their defensive stops from the people they needed it from, Shuttler, from the back four, where they needed it to. And at the end of the day, against a good opposition, that's all you can ask for.
Great. Hopefully our producer's ready for this, and it's calling a bit of an audible here, but can we look at some of the predictions? Because I know the producer, Andy, guessed 2-0 for this one. I did not guess clean sheet, but it still felt pretty good to get at least two goals in there. And we'll get that guy in here in a second. Brad, take it away. This is your domain.
Yeah, so we're really starting to see a gap in the people that are placing predictions every week. Taylor is running away from everybody. Really, she's about a half game ahead. If you wanted to compare this to baseball or hockey or something, basketball, she's a half game ahead of Andy and Kayvon, and a full game plus a little bit more ahead of Michael, who's in third with 21 points. And then there's a cluster of people around that 20 to 19 to 18 point range. But really, Taylor's in another baseball reference with Larry coming on a league of her own right now.
Well done. Wow. Larry, welcome.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
We're talking about baseball, please. But,
baseball. Never heard of her.
Great. Larry, you have 11 points. Care to speak for yourself?
Yeah, I suck this year. But I did. However, I got my prediction in late. I don't know if Brad counted it or not, but I did say 2-1. Thank you for counting it, Brad. I see you nodding there. Listen, guys, if you want, I can tell you what my prediction is every week. Just don't do what I do, and you will be a success because I stink. I'm horrible. I'm in dead last place of everybody, I think.
And there's some people who have played for a week, but yeah, I think of the people who are doing this relatively most of the time, yeah, you're not doing so great.
I have made a prediction every single game, and I haven't even, I've got nothing. The only thing I've gotten right so far this year is that I picked one of our wins, and I picked two goals in this past Saturday's game. Let's talk about this past Saturday's game. Have we covered that yet?
We have, so I will give you 45 seconds to give me your thoughts, and if you would be so kind as to tell me who your man of the match this past weekend was.
Man of the match, easy, Colin Shuttler. Colin was absolutely fantastic between the pipes. He was magnificent. Man of the match part two, Kyle Scott. I was listening as Grayson and I were driving back from Riverside. How do you let that man get that much space and then slot a very easy pass to Dunbar? And then Dunbar makes a beautiful pass to Ethan for that goal. Some things were just far, far too easy in this game. There was a lull where Monterey Bay, everything was down at their end of the pitch in the first half, and things did not look good. And I was a little bit concerned. Second half, the team turned it around. They looked strong. Everything was flowing in the right direction in the second half of the game. And it was a lot of fun to watch from the sidelines. It was a lot of fun to watch from my recliner the next day.
We're such a timely bunch. We're so on top of it. Look at us, 4 minutes late to start the show. None of us were even there. Bear with us.
I was in Riverside watching a little bit of Tesoro High School lacrosse. So, got to do what you got to do. But how about that finish from Tomas right there? That was beautiful.
It was.
Unlike his first attempt at a finish at that 3-minute mark. We'll forget about that one. I think as a group, the three of us are collectively a little ready to move on from this game. And I've kind of prepared a little segment knowing that we don't have an upcoming game this upcoming week. But what we can talk about is the fact that I believe there are 32 games in a year and we're a fourth of the way done with it. So, compared to last year, I don't have exact numbers, but Orange County looks a lot prettier. Still have the same coach in charge that they have this year that started the season. What are you guys thinking? Currently in second place with 15 points, 3 points out of first place, Sacramento, 4 wins, 3 draws, and a loss. Larry, I'm going to go ahead and start with you since you just joined in. What is your quarter season ranking so far?
I think this team looks fantastic through 25% of the season. This is as good as the team has been through the first 2 months of any season since I've been a supporter. I love the way they look. And here's the thing. I was in looking at the stands on Saturday night, sitting up there in Section 8, Charlie Asensio, Ryan Dogman, Seth Kasipley, Dylan Powers, down in the front row with his wife and his baby, Kevin Partita. We're talking about five guys who are absolutely 100%, if not in the 11, they're definitely in the 18. And not one of those five players was available. We just got Marcus back. Ethan has now opened his account. This team is just going to get stronger and stronger as this season goes. Through this first quarter of the season, amazing, fantastic, with a slew of injuries and still playing some really good, really solid, maybe not overly super inspiring, but good enough to get the points soccer week in and week out. One loss in eight games, hell, I'll take that all day, every day.
I guess I'll talk. Someone do the math on what that looks like for a quarter of the way. 16 wins, 12 draws. 12 draws doesn't look great, but what gives me hope here is that we've played Sacramento twice. Sacramento, I think, is far and away expected to be the team that wins it all this year. We've played San Antonio on the road already, and despite not being 100% and not even being all that great the first 2 weeks, we still picked up points. So we've figured out how to win when we're not that great. We will get better as time goes on, and hopefully some of those draws can turn into wins. Brad, do you have any other fun stats that have come this way that we can use to try and predict the future?
I know I'm typically the stats person, but I got nothing for you guys when it comes to prepared stats, but I can definitely give my opinion on this quarter season so far. Right now, I think, you know, I wish I had a prepared stat of Orange County's goal opportunity to goal conversion rate. I think it's probably, let's say, about 60%. I think we are doing a good job of putting the ball in the back of the net when the opportunity is provided, you know, like the cross where we back scored, like Brian Olaski's goal in week one. I think we have definitely looked a lot improved off of our corner kicks, off of our free kicks. Out of a letter grade score to 100, I would give us an 85. I think we still have a lot that we can improve on the offensive end. I like where we are defensively. The fact that we've only conceded 6 goals in 8 games is definitely worlds of improvement over where we were a couple years back in that down season after the championship. Larry says that Siaha is a little whiny. Trust me, it's worse in person. You were there behind the net.
Oh, I was right behind him for the whole game, and my God, how are you going to be that big and that much of a little all at the same time? I don't get it.
It's okay, Larry.
To finish my thoughts real quick, I think if we can fix the offensive woes that we had in a couple of those bad games, really start creating a lot more chances, there's no way that we wouldn't be able to be in the conference championship at the minimum. And it starts 2 weeks from now. We'll highlight it next week against probably the best, if not the second best team in the league in terms of creating opportunities in Louisville.
I believe they won 6-0 at the weekend, but they also played Hartford. So Hartford. I don't know really what that entails. And yeah, this isn't last year's Hartford, but that is not ideal.
And let's just also point out, once again, in regards to injuries, we all got super, super excited when we saw all of those return of that back five returning, Dogman, Nakam, Dylan, Foxy, Owen Lamb, Shuttler. We all got really excited. We have given up 6 goals in 8 games, and in the last game, 3 of those 5 guys weren't even available to be on the pitch. And it's amazing to see these other guys step up, seeing Ashton Miles step up, seeing Ashish Chatha go and play left wing back when, in speaking to him, he's never played left wing back in his entire life. That is very inspiring watching what those guys are doing right now defensively.
And again, I mentioned this earlier, but Ryan Dogman's a pretty massive part of how we attack, and his ability to get up the pitch and then be able to actually get back if we need to defend is crucial to us. We saw that against Pittsburgh. Thanks for the shout earlier, Brad, on that one. He is able to suck away so much attention from our midfield and give them more time on the ball that as this team gets healthy, not to beat a dead horse, it's only going to get better. So things are looking good. I feel like we are just killing time. We should have probably scheduled our guest a little bit sooner, but such is life. Brad, you seem like you had something to say there, or maybe you're just laughing at my misfortune of being the one to host this.
I'm always going to laugh at your misfortune of hosting. No, I think who was it? Canyon Overlook made a really good comment that we keep harking on, the 5 clean sheets out of 8. All of our goals have come in 3 games, goals against, each game allowing 3 goals, and of the, or 2 goals, wow, I cannot talk. Of all of those games, 2 of those ended up in draws. You know, I believe one of those was at home, the other one was in Sacramento, but allowing more than one goal and only losing one of those games, you're gonna take that every day of the week, and it's really hard to lose a game that you don't score a goal in, or that you don't allow a goal in. Obviously, penalty kicks being the outlier I am listing. However, I have yet to see a regular season game decided in penalty kicks. So definitely have a lot of room to grow. I definitely think we need to be a little bit more offensive. Really need to see Zubac, Among step up. Bryce Jamison, it's kind of weird seeing him come off the bench a little bit more. I really thought, especially with given how hot he started the season, that him having a bench role is not concerning, but you know, I would have liked to see Among coming in that role. I think that's where he's been successful for us. Not saying he wasn't successful this last week, but I want to see a little bit more out of the kid. And especially since he's likely going to be leaving us sometime this summer.
That's fair. Before we talk about individuals, because we are going to do that in but a moment. If we can talk about being efficient, 5 clean sheets from 8 matches, but not necessarily trying to win every game 1-0 is a pretty big departure from where we were just about a year ago when Morten Carlsen took over, or 2 years ago when Richard, 3 years ago when Richard Chaplow took over. Math's hard, guys. Time moves fast. I guess I'm old now, and that's just what it happens. Larry's white beard could probably tell that story, but this is something that's exciting to watch and something that is progressive and is creating a lot of chances and is still coming away with a pretty resolute defensive effort and a pretty resolute defense and results. So, I mean, this is nice. It has been years, I guess, and now we're actually getting something. I feel like Larry has something to say, but I feel like it maybe is not something that we are privy to.
The cat decided to rattle the screen door. I wanted to make sure the little one we got didn't just run out the front door, because that would be bad. Have we mentioned the return of Marky Blue Eyes?
I said no individuals. No individual. We're talking about the system for 3 more minutes, please.
All right. We'll talk about Mark in 3 minutes, or after we finish up talking with our soon to be guest here. But I mean, come on, we can't ignore the fact now, can we?
We can't. And to speak on what Matt, last week's guest, had to say here in the chat, second half, it really felt like Monterey Bay went for it and just gave us acres of space. Yeah, when you have a great 15 minutes to open the game, and for once we're not trying to chase things, then we get to play in that space instead of being the ones to give up that space. And I think that's another thing that the system has done well, is it allows, we have the personnel, we have the players to strike, whether we're going over the top, whether we're going through Kyle Scott or a Sofiane Jafal, we can do it. And we have multiple ways to win games. So it's good stuff. I feel very optimistic about this season, and I am slightly terrified about what might happen if it doesn't go well. I'll probably lose all my hair, something dumb. But I believe our producer and Larry will be very happy about this because his ego will be stroked ever so slightly.
I am the first one to say that I do have a somewhat grandiose ego on occasion. I also enjoy attention, which is why once upon a time I was a front man in a band. I wasn't a very good front man. I couldn't sing worth a crap, but I could be entertaining. But so a little thing happened. For those of you who do not follow the Orange and Black Soccer Cast Instagram page, you should be. I'm on the sidelines of the game. I'm doing live videos. And it just happens that I did a live video that I posted up on the Instagram story on Saturday night. And I think we have that queued up and ready to go. Producer Andy?
So while he was getting loose and ready to come into the game, Ethan Zubak ran by me. And I said to him, Ethan, tonight's the night. So I'm calling it right now. I'm calling my shot. Ethan Zubak scores tonight. We're in the 67th minute. Looks like he's about to come on along with Marcus Nackham. And Ethan is going to get his first goal for Orange County Soccer Club tonight. It's coming. Be ready.
Man, I love when I'm wrong.
I love that.
What's up, Ethan?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Oh, man, we are so excited to have you here. And I'm going to let them ask you questions about the goal. I'm going to ask you about after the goal, okay?
Okay.
After the goal, I rewatched the replay yesterday afternoon on ESPN Plus. I sat here in my recliner and watched the game. Just before Monterey went and kicked off after your goal, the camera panned right to you, and you did this. There was this great big intake of air and a little sigh. Let me ask, Ethan, what was going through your head right at that moment?
Yeah, I think literally just relief. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, you want to just get the first one no matter what. And the moment it happens, it's just such a big moment of relief. So yeah, when I scored and then I actually had a tie, you know, a second to kind of get my breath a little bit when we were at the halfway line, I just thought to myself, man, that's a special moment. Try to soak it all in and then start moving on to the future. But, you know, that's building block one, honestly.
And it was a great goal, and the pass that came from Cameron was absolutely fantastic. But I am going to ask you this question. How does this goal compare to the goal you scored in the first 10 seconds of the still a USL championship record, I think. Sacramento did not break that record against us.
It's crazy the fact that actually that Sacramento came and tried to return the favor, which is unbelievable how that happens. But yes, you know what? This goal at the moment, in this moment of time, I think it's more special than the 10-second goal. The 10-second goal was super cool, and I think I'll always look back on that as probably one of my favorite goals that I've ever scored. But I'd say in this moment, I think that the goal I just scored is beating that goal out right now. It's meaning a lot more for me, especially playing here in OC. It's just a special goal, you know. I think it's like kind of like an initiation into the group. So right now it beats it out.
Absolutely, no question there. I think Dylan's gonna go next, and Dylan has a couple questions for you.
Perfect. Yeah, Ethan, I believe that was your 28th goal in the USL Championship. Have you scored an easier one?
That's a good question. I mean, I've scored penalties, although I wouldn't say penalty. Honestly, that's definitely easier than a penalty. No, I haven't. I don't think I have, honestly. I think, you know, no goalkeeper, flat across the box in the six. I don't think it really gets any easier than that. I've definitely scored a fair share of harder ones. I've scored some back heels. I've scored, like you said, in 10 seconds into the game. I feel like there's a trend on social media that's like USL is bangers only, and that's low-key kind of true for the most part.
We don't mind. They can be simple tap-ins as long as they're going in. It took a minute to get them going. You mentioned it feels like the initiation into the group. how much stress do you have coming off the bench in a one goal game trying to put it to bed?
Yeah, it's tough. I think that coming off the bench, especially defending a lead, is a very stressful job. You have to try to get yourself, into the game as soon as possible. You have to get your second win right away because you have to be prepared to be running, somewhat extravagant amounts. And so, there is pressure coming into that. But the one thing that you have to do, and it's something that Larry said, I took a deep breath after I scored the goal. I try to take a deep breath, right before I come in, and all I could do is handle my business as much as I can. So when the ball comes to me, those are the moments where I have to handle my business defensively. I have to put in work. So you can't build it up too much in your head how difficult things are going to be. All you can do is control the moments that you can affect during the game.
All right. Well, thanks, Ethan, for joining us. My first question for you is, and it's a question I'd like to ask most of the players we come on, who do you model your game off of? Any pro, any level, anywhere in the world?
Well, that's a really good question. I've had even players that I've played with, I guess, in my time at the Galaxy, especially Nashville. I played with some good players as well. I've obviously, everyone has the ability to watch players. But when I was at the Galaxy and I played with Zlatan, I think that that was a huge learning curve for me because it was my first year signed in the MLS. And you learn a lot that year. And when you play with a guy of that caliber who embodies exactly what a nine is and what a striker is, you just naturally pick up on so much. So I would definitely say that I would like to try to model my game after him in some ways. He's, the best of the best. And I think that's a pretty good goal for any striker to have.
All right. Next up for you, I got, obviously we just talked a little bit. I don't know if you caught our conversation about the quarter way through the season. I'm not going to ask for individual performance grades because I don't want to put you in that spot. But as a team, where do you rate, A to D, A to F scale? Where do you rate how Orange County has done so far in the 2024 season?
Yeah, that's a good question. results wise, I think that, we're in an A fashion. The team knows how to grind out results and get things done. Saying that, I think that there's tons and tons of room for improvement from top to bottom. And I think that that's a good thing. I think if you are able to win games and still not even be close to what we know that we can achieve and the level that we're supposed to be at, then I think that that's a good sign. So performance-wise, I think that we would probably be at like a B or a C, honestly. I think that there's tons and tons of room to improve. I think we're building upon that. I think Morton's addressing a lot of that in practice. So I think that's probably what I'd give for performance and results wise. You can't really complain about where we're at. We're, right at the top of the table. So, and I think we could be doing even better.
All right. Then I'm going to press you on one specific thing. Cause you gave us a B or a C. I think our panel here as a result, we're really leaning more B+. Okay. What is something that you think the team needs to improve on? Just specific as you want to get.
Sure. I think that, I think defensively we're very, very sound. I think that we have a lot of good qualities. player personnel, strategy, I think it's something that we wanted to more heavily address during the preseason. But I think going forward and kind of gelling with, new relationships and new guys coming into the group, as well as, going from game to game and trying to have our own identity and at the same time address our opponents. I think that on the ball, whether it be in the attacking third, defensive third, middle third, I think that we have a long ways to go just as far as gelling as a group and having a good buildup and having a good final product. And I think that we're definitely addressing that and we're seeing improvement in that regard. So, that's where I'd say we could use the most improvement.
Hey, Ethan, we have for starters, let me let you in on a little something maybe you're not aware of. Right now, we have got probably more people in the chat room for the comments section that we have ever had. And that's huge. We're, our audience is growing and you guys are helping us do that. And we really appreciate you coming here. A lot of it has to do with people want to hear from you. Now, let's talk about, we've got some listener questions. And Matt Elder, he's a CLC member. He's one of those loud guys down there in the corner. And he wanted to know, after the game, was there any razzing of Tomas after that miss in the third, fourth minute? Because it seems like something that y'all would want to joke about after the game, especially since 2 minutes later, he scored a banger and it was beautiful. Did y'all get on him a little bit for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think, yeah, you guys already know. I mean, you know, locker rooms, especially with the young locker room like we have, I mean, the guys are going to be all over something like that. So I told him, though, after the game, I'm pretty sure that they called it offsides afterwards. I don't know if it was on Ashish or Thomas. I don't know. That's what I saw. I saw a flag go up. So I told Thomas, I said, hey, I would just go with it. They called it offsides and it would have counted anyway. So I'm not sure if that's the case, but that's what I told him to go with.
Hey, you do what you got to do. I completely get it. And did you hear the CLC's chant for you? And what did you think of it?
Yes, I did hear it. I love it. I think that, you know, when you hear you guys, you know, getting behind us like that, man, you just get like a burst of energy. I mean, I think it's just a good feeling to know that you're, you know, that your home supporters are like, hey, we got you. You know, whenever you get into the game, we believe in you. And yeah, so when I'm warming up and I hear you guys, you know, getting in my ear and being behind my back, I mean, I think that's the greatest feeling there is. Confident.
That's awesome. And I will say this, you will find out about the County Line Coalition that we are not the biggest, we are not the loudest supporter section, but without a doubt, the most creative supporter section with our chants. No question about it. So I think we've got some more listener questions here that I think Dylan was going to ask.
Perfect.
Yeah, we've probably talked a lot about you as a player, and so now we're going to talk about you as a person and a bunch of nonsense. So I hope someone prepared you for this when you found out that you're going to be on the show this week. I've got a question from Carlos really quickly, and he just wants to know any pregame ritual, any pregame meal that you have.
You know, that's a funny story. I don't have a specific meal that I like to have before a game. I've definitely developed, you know, certain foods that I do like. I mean, I do like pastas. I do like things that are light, filled with carbs. But I would say that rather than having specific ritual meals, I have foods that I can't eat. I'm half Indian. My mom makes great Indian food. And when I first signed with Galaxy 2, I had Indian food before a game. And it was one of my first starts with the team. And you could only imagine how that felt. I mean, my stomach was killing me the entire game. And I couldn't wait till halftime. I thought I was going to, you know, excuse my language, but crap my pants. And I literally, the halftime whistle blew and I sprinted to the bathroom. And I mean, it was the most relieving feeling of the world. You thought that my goal was relieving. I mean, that was 10 times more relieving. So since then, I know foods that I cannot eat before a game.
And it wasn't mom's Indian food, was it?
It was mom's Indian food. I mean, as great as it is, as great as it is, Indian food just does it to me like that.
Wow. I did not see this. This is going to be probably clipped and just fired all across socials. So, you know, at @OCSC_soccercast everywhere. My God, thank you for probably the greatest moment in this podcast's history. Let's talk some more about food really quickly. What's your favorite catered lunch post-training or post-match? Ooh. I'll open it up to that as well.
You know what? The guys give me a lot of heat about this one. And if they see this, I'll actually be laughing about it, because the guys joke around that their least favorite dish of all is pasta. And it's pasta that we have twice a week. And it's the only, you know, real repetitive dish that we have. And I didn't care. I told them that I loved it and that, you know, I had to speak my mind, because if they canceled that, that would have been super disappointing to me. And I love the pasta that they bring in. So that's my favorite meal. But honestly, the team brings in pretty good team meals every day of the week.
All right. Away from the team, What's your favorite Orange County restaurant?
Ooh, that is a good question. Well, okay, so I guess I could answer that two ways. I love Mexican food too. So, growing up from home, there's a fast food Mexican place that originated in Corona, where I'm from, called Miguel's Jr., and they've expanded into Orange County. Love Miguel's Jr. Probably my favorite, one of my favorite, you know, restaurants / fast food restaurants of all time. And then when I was living in Huntington Beach, me and my wife loved going and getting sushi. So we loved Sushi on Fire on Main Street over there.
Two wildly different answers I did not expect. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that. I thought I had two more. I lied. I think I had now have two more. This one is a classic for me. So what is your favorite vegetable and how do you prepare it?
Favorite vegetable. Man, that is a good question. Favorite vegetable. Oh, my wife loves Brussels.
You can say you don't like them.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, for as much as there are some that I do like. My wife loves Brussels sprouts, and I can't stand them. So Brussels sprouts is definitely off the list. Asparagus is really good if it's prepared right. I mean, just keeping it simple, though, I think all you need is asparagus on a frying pan, olive oil, salt, crushed red pepper, and Italian seasoning. And that's how I do it. So okay. I would say, yeah, asparagus.
Thank you for that, actually honestly,
that sounds delicious if you take the asparagus out.
Larry, you once said that your favorite vegetable was steak, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I mean, I don't think anyone truly would enjoy eating vegetables. Like, do you ever just go and be like, hey, I'm going to eat vegetables by themselves? There's plenty of foods that you would say, hey, I would eat this by itself, but I don't think vegetables has ever been in that conversation.
I feel like I've been called out, but that's fine. That's fine. You can score lots of goals and you know, people actually want to hear what you have to say. So who cares? Ethan, one final question from me for you. What do we have to do to get that mustache back? Because that, I believe it was Galaxy, like that staff, my God, how do we get this back?
It's so funny. Okay. To bring her up again. I bring up my wife all the time because I love talking about her, and she honestly, we talk about everything. So she loves the stash. The only times that I've brought it in are when teammates have told me to bring it, and she batters me all the time saying, hey, how come you never do it when I ask you to do it? So it's going to be soon. She's still living in Nashville right now, and she moves back soon. And that's one of the things that she's been battering me about a lot. So when she gets back, the summer mustache is coming in for sure, and it'll be here to stay.
Oh my God. I hope we all grow mustaches to support you in this. I hope Seth gets his back. Please, whatever it takes.
I would love to see that from all you guys. All you guys, the guys on the team, everyone. Everyone's just got to do Stash Summer.
This is beautiful. This is happening. Brett.
That just brings me back to the glorious days of Reno 911 Seth, when Seth had the full bushy beard and the stash. Eventually, when he got rid of the beard, I can only imagine that you two would look like twin brothers.
Yes,
with the stash just grown out. Anyways, without our noble, loyal host to be Ray missing this week, and given that this is your first time joining us, it would be remiss if we didn't ask you his go-to questions for guests. So, if you were to open up your phone, go to Spotify pregame, what songs would show up and what do you listen to in the pre-games?
Oh man, I listen to a variety. I mean, okay, so I don't have Spotify, I have Apple Music, so I don't think they even have those same type of amazing statistics that Spotify has. I think it's just like an aesthetic thing for me, which don't get me on. I know that I should be on Team Spotify. But man, I listen to all kinds of different varieties. I think if I'm in like a let's get angry type of mood, I'm listening to rap, I'm listening to your standard playlist, but I can listen to classical before a game if I want to be calm. If I'm like, hey, today's the day where I need to calm my nerves. I'm a big classic rock fan, so I think that's my go-to just because that's what I feel comfortable listening to. I could listen to just about anything. I could listen to Screamo if that put me in the mood for the game. I think it's all like a mood thing for me.
Can we get a couple specific artists in there?
Okay. Let's see, rap go-to artist, I would say I like Kid Cudi, who's not your standard rap artist, I feel like, but I like Kid Cudi. I like some Kanye West, some OG Kanye West stuff. Let's see, old 80s music. Who do I like? I like Soft Cell. I like Billy Idol. I like Led Zeppelin and Fleetwood Mac are probably the OG for that. Classical music. A lot of Hans Zimmer soundtracks from movies. The Gladiator soundtrack is one of my favorite things to listen to just because it has such good variety. Yeah, those would probably be some of my top artists that I would say. I know that's a lot.
All right. And finally with the music questions, and no, that wasn't a lot. That's actually kind of what I was expecting. But you've already thrown your mother under the bus. You've kind of thrown your wife under the bus. Now I'm going to ask you to throw some of your teammates under the bus. When you guys do play music in the locker room and, you know, say, I know Seth has the most cable time, but who has the best playlist and who has the worst taste in music?
Man, that's a good question. Seth definitely has the best taste because he plays a little bit of everything. So everyone's getting catered to. I cannot complain about Seth. He's just the guy. You know, there was cool things that I found out about the team on the Sacramento trip. We were doing kind of player initiation, you know, new guys have to sing, all that. And I told the guys that I was going to sing a Johnny Cash song and I was going to do Highwayman by Johnny Cash. And the first person who recognized it, and pretty much the only person, is Marcus Nakim, of all people, a Norwegian guy, is the guy who loves Johnny Cash. And I'm like, hey, that is incredible. So guys just have well-rounded music taste in the locker room. So those are some good examples of guys with good taste. You wanted bad taste. Oh, bad taste. Sophie has bad taste. He loves like the strangest songs that I've heard, like romantic songs, like very soft songs, and it's very interesting to me. Even you know, right before the game, you know, all the guys at that point are trying to get amped up. And Soph will be playing, I don't even know the artist, maybe like Sam Smith or something like that. And you're just like, whoa, way off guard.
Well, he's French. It's in his DNA, I think, to have that soft romantic stuff going on, possibly. I'm not sure. Hey, Ethan, first of all, I understand your wife's point about the mustache. Because if I shave my beard, my wife won't talk to me for about 2 weeks until I have some scruff back. So I get it. But let's travel back. I got one last question for you. And this is actually going to be a soccer question. When Cameron Dunbar was on here a couple of weeks ago, after he had scored his first goal of the season, he made a prediction that he was going to score about 14 or 15 more. Well, so what? I love the boldness of it. What is your prediction? How many more are you putting in the back of the net this year?
I think the standard for me would be to try to get into double digit goals. I think that's my minimum. I think that, you know, I like to be ambitious too. I like the fact that Cam's ambitious and I think, you know, knowing him as a guy, I think he could do it. Second of all, I like that he does that because he's just such a competitive guy. And I think that makes him who he is. So I would try to like to get in that range too. You know, and even, you know, friendly competing with guys for goals on the team is a good way to do that. So hopefully me and Cam and some of the other boys up top can compete, get into double digit goals and, you know, try to make some fireworks happen.
Beautiful. Ethan, we're looking forward to it. Where can we find you on the internet?
On the internet. you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I think it's just my name on both of them. I think it's at Ethan Zubak on both of them. So catch me on there.
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you so much, Ethan. We appreciate it. And thank you for potentially the greatest moment in the Orange Black Soccercast history.
Glad to be here, guys, and glad to provide some entertainment. So thank you guys for having me on. See you guys out at the field. See everyone else. And yeah, glad to be here.
Thanks, Ethan.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Before you leave, because everyone's going to leave now, it's the worst time for the show. Find us on Facebook at OCSE _ OCSE Soccercast, Instagram, OCSC_soccercast. You can find our website, OCSCpodcast.com. I've probably forgotten one. I think we're on TikTok now. I have nothing to do with that, as you can probably imagine. That was wonderful. I look forward to summer stashes or stash summer, whatever we're going to call it. Ray has decided to join in. No one wants to hear about him until he's got a mustache going, and I don't think he can grow one. And yeah, we have to figure out what it's going to take to get Morten Carlson to be able to grow a mustache. So I'm looking forward to it. Perhaps we can get Larry to maybe get something going on here. Carrie, I'll give you $100 to let the mustache happen with nothing else. And of course, truly the greatest moment in this history. And shout out to Marcus Nakeem for recognizing the Highwaymen, because that's a classic. That's amazing.
That is really good stuff right there. Absolutely outstanding stuff. And hey, since you mentioned him, can we please talk about the return of the captain?
All right. You have 45 seconds once again to talk about Marcus Nakeem.
First of all, when the 18 was announced and I saw his name, I got incredibly excited, but I started thinking, maybe they just need a body on the bench so they have 18. And then I saw him over there warming up with Ethan at the same time. And then I could not have been more excited to see him get into the game. I thought it was awesome to get to see Brian Ilosky wear the captain's band for what I think was the first time in his Orange County Soccer Club career. So that was awesome. But what was really just a beautiful moment was watching Brian take it off when Marcus came on the field, because Marcus is our captain, and watch Brian put that armband back onto Marcus's arm, because Marcus has not been in the lineup since week one of the season. It was awesome to see him back. I could not be more excited. That's one amazing piece of the puzzle back and ready to go. Just wait, this team, oh my God, I'm just getting more excited every single week.
Brad, you have some thoughts?
The show about the, just in general, having Marcus back?
It's just something we've learned, apparently.
Oh, I mean, if we're doing something we've learned, I've learned that Mr. Zubak, Ethan, is the most hyper, you know, fun-loving guest I think we've ever had on this show. Like, truly, truly a pleasure to have him on this show and get to learn a little bit more about him.
He has set the bar rather high, and prepare your lips, gentlemen, and all of our partners, I suppose, because, you know, Sash Summer is coming. Larry, what did you learn this week?
I learned, and this is for all the kids out there watching, I learned don't eat Indian food before a soccer match.
I can't believe you didn't know that already. We got a dog on the show, so it's time for everybody's least favorite. We'll see y'all later. Random thoughts, gentlemen. Brad, go first, because you've got a dog in your hands.
I mean, you've seen her multiple times. She is exhausted. This is Wendy. However, my random thought is not so random. Everton have secured safety with probably the best 3-game streak that I've ever seen out of them. 3 successful shutouts in a row at home in a 7-day period, including a wonderful 2-0 over Allen's Liverpool.
If only he was here to sigh at that. Larry, what's your random thought?
My random thought, 19,000 bets in 3 years, $16 million lost, and you're going to tell me that nobody knew? Come on. Yeah. Let's not have baseball's golden boy get, dinged for, I don't know, something that would get him banned from baseball for the rest of his life. But I digress.
You know, he was once a member of the Angels when a lot of that was happening. Anyway,
and I would have said the exact same thing if he was still playing for the Angels.
I don't believe you, and that is okay. 54 years ago, thereabouts on Saturday, was the Kent State shooting. And my random thought is not all that random. We have demonstrations on campuses all across the country. The people who were alive 54 years ago and the people who were young 54 years ago are definitely still alive. Did we learn nothing?
Nope.
Are we going to do this again? How many more? And on this joyous note, I will give you 4.5 minutes back of your evening. For Brad, for myself, for producer Andy for Ray's brief second without saying anything or even appearing on camera, and for everybody's new favorite guest, Ethan Zuback. This has been the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out.